Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up on today's program, we'll look at how much money the federal government spends on beach replenishment programs, not only here in Ocean City, but other resort towns in the United States. And we'll explore whether taxpayers are getting their money's worth out of those investments. We'll bring you the latest in our Living the Dream series, and we'll head to French Polynesia with Richard and Jessica Johnson aboard their catamaran, Elsie. First, though, we're going to talk about a topic that makes some people in our region gnash their teeth, especially this time of year: traffic on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. And whether you're a year-round resident or a day tripper on the way to the beach, chances are pretty good that you've got a story of sitting in mind-numbing, jaw-dropping, road rage-inducing traffic on the Bay Bridge. Well, the Maryland Transportation Authority is now launching a study to look at whether a third span should be built on the bridge, which carries 30 million vehicles a year. Candy Thompson is a reporter for the Baltimore Sun who's been covering this story, and Candy joins us now. Candy, thanks so much for being here on Coastal Connection.
Well, it's good to be invited. Thanks for the invitation.
So I've been following your reporting on this, and certainly there's thousands of people that live here on the coast and who visit the coast on a consistent basis that are very interested in this story. I'm going to, you know, quote you from one of your stories. This study will analyze traffic growth to determine future capacity requirements and will set a schedule for major preservation and routine maintenance of the existing spans. Explain that for people in simplest terms. What is this study going to do?
Well, this study is going to see how many more years they can get out of the bridge. In other words, you know, you have a bridge that the original span was built in 1952. The second span was built in 1973. They aggressively maintain the bridge. But, you know, even when you take really good care of something, you know this with a car, sooner or later it's going to wear out, or the replacement parts become obsolete, or it just becomes a patch on a patch on a patch. So instead of pursuing the more complicated, more expensive pursuit of essentially doing the environmental study to determine where a bridge should go, two senators, E.J. Pipkin over there on the Eastern Shore and John Astle of Annapolis, proposed a bill this last session to look at how much life is left in the Bay Bridge so that lawmakers know and planners know exactly how much time they have left to make what will be a monumental decision.
Of course, these studies, you know, project 20, 25 years. What do you anticipate this study coming back with, and what kind of time frame would we be looking at if they were to say, hey, let's look at a third span?
Well, I mean, all we have to do is go back to 2005, when that was the last task force study that was done. And quite frankly, the state has studied this thing to death. There have been studies that have looked at where you would put a bridge. There's even been a study, what would happen if we added mass transit to the existing two spans? Would that alleviate traffic enough to make a difference? And the answer was no, because, you know, people don't go to the beach with just what's in their pockets. They've got lots of stuff to carry, and it's just impractical when you're talking about buses and that kind of thing. So any study would have to look at essentially what they looked at in 2005. And, you know, in 2005, they looked at four possible sites, and each one, of course, has its own unique set of problems, which is why that task force report sits on a shelf gathering dust. This current study will take 2 years. It'll cost a whole lot less, about $1 million, than doing a complete study, which would cost about $27 million. And I think when we get to the end of it, we will have a number that says, you guys got to do something by this point. Then the heavy lifting happens. This is actually the easy part. The heavy lifting will be sorting through the options, seeing where environmentally you could put a bridge, and keeping in mind that state law says that if you're going to build a new toll road, toll highway, or toll bridge on the Eastern Shore, you have to get the buyout, or the buy-off, by the way, whatever word we want to use, the buy-in, I guess that would be it, the buy-in of every single jurisdiction on the Eastern Shore. Now, you want to talk about herding kittens? That's going to be tough to do, is to get every single county on the Eastern Shore to say, yes, let's go ahead with this.
And that'll be interesting because, you know, places like Ocean City and other towns here on the coast that are very vested in tourism and all those millions of people coming across the bridge, one would assume or presume that they would be much in favor of a third span. Whereas you look at, you know, Kent County and the folks that see all that traffic basically passing them by for 3-4 months a year, they may not be as, you know, excited about more traffic coming through. In your story, you called the Bay Bridge structurally sound but functionally obsolete. And I kind of earmarked that quote as, you know, being a very eloquent way of complaining about, you know, what people are feeling when they're sitting in all that traffic for hours and hours. Explain that a little bit. I mean, is the bridge, with the flow that's coming over every year, is it to the point where it just can't handle the volume anymore?
Well, it's not only you hit it right on the head, Brian. The bottom line is it's not only that the bridge can't handle all the traffic it has, it's that the approaches to the bridge can't handle all the traffic. I mean, let's say somebody says, okay, let's plop down a third span between the two we have because we have the footprint, we have the roads leading in. Well, hold on just a second. You have got to build wider approaches. That means, you know, taking how many lanes we have now and really blowing out that road, you know, on both sides. And you also hit the problem, and if you live on the Western Shore, the Severn River Bridge would be too narrow for, and it would not have the capacity to allow a third span to be used, you know, to its capacity, the way you would want it to be used. You'd still end up in a bottleneck. It just wouldn't be right at the bridge. It would be on the western side, somewhere around, you know, Crofton. And on the Eastern Shore side, well, who knows? I mean, you could be back to Easton for all we know. So there's your big problem. There's your big expense. There's where you're going to get some local friction when people start looking at plans that show a 12-lane highway.
And that's what we see almost every weekend, you know, that once people get over the bridge and they get onto the Eastern Shore side, you know, I've talked to people who have been in, you know, hours and hours of traffic recently who say, once we get over to the Eastern Shore, you know, we're driving straight and it all, that bottleneck opens up. But it seems on the Western Shore side, you know, folks are sitting seemingly all the way back to Annapolis, backed up in just gridlock. You know, in your story, you said that by 2025, the daily volume is expected to increase to about 135,000 vehicles on an average Saturday and 86,000 vehicles on an average weekday. Do you think that addressing the bottleneck is paramount to addressing the actual number of spans we have on the Bay Bridge?
That certainly is part of it, Brian. I mean, when you look at the 2005 task force, they came up with four places where you could cross, the Chesapeake Bay. The upper area would be somewhere around Kent County, from Baltimore County over to Kent County. The second area would be essentially where the Bay Bridge is now. The third area would be from Anne Arundel County over to, say, somewhere near St. Michael's. And then the fourth zone would be all the way south, Calvert County over to Dorchester County. So that's what you're looking at. And the place where they put the Bay Bridge is the shortest possible distance. So, I mean, at the very least, a new Bay Bridge, a third span in exactly the same place is going to cost you $3 billion. And if you don't like the gas tax now, I don't know how you're going to pay $3 billion, even if the federal government picks up half of that. $1.5 billion is a lot of money, and you also have to have the political will to do it.
Candy, you just mentioned the cost. Breaking that $3 billion down, it's somewhere around $700 million per mile in today's dollars. You know, do you think that politicians are going to get behind something in this day and age? Or how difficult do you think it's going to be, rather, to get those counties on the Eastern Shore to line up in support of this?
I think it's going to have to get very bad. I think we're going to have to hit a situation where we have a mass evacuation needed and we can't do it, be it a hurricane or some other kind of disaster. I think as long as people think they don't have to make a decision, they won't. I mean, that's sort of human nature, especially when you're going to make a whole bunch of people very, very angry. I think that, you know, in talking to politicians in Annapolis, they're like, yeah, we need to do this study. We need to know how much time we have. Well, you know, knowing how much time you have, you also have to build into that how long it's going to take to get through an environmental assessment, how long it's going to take to line up the funding, how long it's going to take to line up the public support to do this. That's the heavy lifting.
I guess best case scenario, this study is going to take 2 years. Do you think this is going to be something that happens in our lifetime?
Well, certainly not while I'm working. I'm sure I'll be retired and sending you postcards from wherever I land. But I mean, when you look at where the bridge could possibly go, you know, and there are considerations. There's boat traffic. There's all the cargo ships that go up to the Port of Baltimore that have to have clearance. And you look at some of the lengths of these bridges, the bridges down south, the one that would end up in St. Michael's would be a 12-mile-long bridge. The one that would be the furthest south that would end up in Dorchester County, that would be a 7-mile-long bridge. I mean, it's mind-boggling to think that you could get everybody on board for something that big. And when you look at where on the eastern shore these bridges would land, the two southern locations, those are in prime federal wetlands, protected wetlands, sanctuaries. Good luck on that.
Well, it's interesting because you look at this and you consider all the people who sit for hours and hours each weekend. Would a third span essentially just ease that commute, or would it encourage more people to come? I guess, what do you think the impacts are going to be as far as bringing numbers of people to the Eastern Shore?
Well, I think there's two parts to that, Brian, and I think you raise one half of that, and that is, can Ocean City handle the tourism? And I guess that comes up with any tourist town. You know, how much is too much? What is as the National Park Service says, what's the carrying capacity of a facility? You know, like how many people can you take before it becomes intolerable? You know, it's not just building a bridge. It's deciding what you want the Eastern Shore to look like.
We've been speaking with Candy Thompson. She's the transportation and maritime reporter for the Baltimore Sun. Candy, always nice talking to you. And thanks so much for joining me here on Coastal Connection.
Thank you so much for the invitation. Have a good summer.
You too. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm Brian Russo.